Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy Radio Show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So we had a couple of assignments over the weekend.
Yes, indeed.
And what a weekend it was.
Yes. I'm sure everybody had a big weekend and lots to practice with, but we can't not mention that we had our first event at the new center in Mountain View, which was a great deal of fun. A great deal of practice fun.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Our assignment from Friday was, the range of what we think and do is limited by what we fail to notice. And because we fail to notice that we fail to notice, there is little we can do to change until we notice how failing to notice shapes our thoughts and deeds. This quote states beautifully the imperative nature of awareness practice. It's the old, we think we know what we know, but don't know what we don't know, taken one step further. What practice has shown us is that we don't have a clue about anything, and our only difficulties in life come from forgetting that truth to get bamboozled by ego's knowing. Today, check in regularly to see what you think you know, and notice how often you can see that you don't. Record and listen. From Saturday. You and I are all as much continuous with the physical universe as a wave is continuous with the ocean. You're a function of this total galaxy bounded by the Milky Way, and this galaxy is a function of all other galaxies. You are the vast thing that you see far, far off with great telescopes. You are the eternal thing that comes and goes, that appears now as John Jones, now as Mary Smith, now as Betty Brown, and so it goes forever and ever and ever. Egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate has its way with human beings because it gets us to focus on the small, this little problem, that little inconvenience, this little irritation, that little slight, or stated otherwise, my little world. Ego is pleased to dote on I, me, my endlessly and only on John, Mary, and Betty if it can be shown that John, Mary, and Betty are a problem for I, me, and my. With attention on the vastness of all time and all space, of all being, there's simply no room for something as demanding yet insignificant as an ego. Of course, there's room for it. There's plenty of room for everything. We just lose all desire to give it any attention. Today, make it a practice to shift attention from the small to the vast, giving more focus to the infinite and to the finite, considering life's expansiveness rather than ego's contractedness. Record and listen. And Sundays, the reason we want to go on is because we live in an impoverished present. Living in ego's version of present is living in the constant dissatisfaction of something wrong, not enough. We're conditioned to believe that out there, sometime in the future, when everything comes together the way ego tells us it will, we'll be happy. When is one of conditioned mind's favorite words. When you get the right job, when you find the right partner, when you have your own home, when you have a family, when you're financially set, when the kids are grown, when you retire, it's all going to happen, the voices assure us, just not now. That's the peace we need to get. Now is the only time we will ever be satisfied. Today, choose to slip into those spaces between the thoughts and have an experience of how perfect now is when attention is not held by the dissatisfying voices of dissatisfaction in conditioned mind.
Wow. It was a big weekend, wasn't it?
It truly was. Well, shall we hear from some of our callers?
Yes, please.
First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, my gosh. Hi. How are you?
Good. Excellent. How are you?
I'm doing great. This is Paige from Seattle.
Hello, Paige.
Hi. Hi. And the reason I said hello like that was I didn't even realize I got myself in the queue, so I am feeling very lucky right now.
The divine is guiding you. We can have no confusion about that.
Oh,
it'll put us in the queue whether we know it or not.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, yes. So I have lots of things to share. I think what I'll choose to share is what happened to me yesterday.
All right.
So I was at the There Is Nothing Wrong With You workshop the second week of June. And then I came back to Seattle, and then I went to the East Coast for a week with my family, and now this is sort of the week where I'm like, okay, here now my schedule is settling down, right? And I can say, okay, I have this fast.
This is real life.
This is yes, exactly. There's no more disruptions, and here we go. I was very grateful to have this radio. I had you the whole time with me wherever I went. So, you know, even though I might not have been able to get up and meditate in this group house that I was with my family, I had you guys every day, and I would put in.
No good. We're right there with you.
An amazing through line. So yeah, yesterday I kept a commitment to go to a meditation at a local Zen monastery here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very classic with me. I didn't really do the homework I needed to do for it to come off really well. And
like read the confirmation, that sort of thing.
Yes, exactly. Like you know, I read around the website. It'll be fine, but also I had that reason not to go if I didn't go.
Oh,
you know,
uh-huh.
It was always, well, you know, you should have done this and you should have done this, so next time. And I realize this is a pattern with me. I definitely sometimes chaotically burst onto the scene because I will be thinking about something and planning to do something, and I, even though over here I'm caught up in ego and I'm making myself late, it's some part of me will kind of break through and, you know, get escape velocity, but then, you know, the result is not very centered.
Yes. I'm right there. I bet we can all relate.
So what
I want to underline, just take this little moment to do my best thing, which is nag. So yesterday we opened the center in Mountain View after a great push to make it happen on the part of a lot of people who worked really hard to make it happen. So we had something like 53 people scheduled to be there.
Yes.
And of course, there's no charge for this event, right? And we turned people away because we knew we were over capacity, and half the people showed up who said they were going to come.
So they're all me. All those people are me.
Well, I tell that little story so that you know that you're not alone. It's a typical way that ego controls people and leaves us in a place of feeling bad.
Mm-hmm. No
and
joke.
It'll tell you, of course, that you're taking care of yourself because you don't feel like it and something came up and, it, you know, you could really use this day to rest or catch up or whatever it is. But the truth of the matter is, it's exactly what you're describing, and it's just all designed to make us feel bad.
And I wonder how many people were like me and set out to go but ended up being late, and then they just couldn't bring themselves to come in late. I just wonder how many, you know.
Any number of ways ego gets people not to come through for themselves. There's endless stories. You know, you just have to do this one more thing before you leave the house, and that's designed to make you late. It goes on and on and on. And because we're all one, we could, you know, amongst us, we could come up with a comprehensive list of exactly how that is done to us.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. It is. So, it is.
Mm-hmm. So there I am, heading up to the center, and I've never been there before, but I'm trusting Google Maps, and I'm leaving myself a margin of error of almost nothing, and I don't know where to park, which is always just the last thing that people never think about. Oh, I'm just going to somehow port out of my car and get there on time. Mm-hmm. But even then, I managed to get there, you know, quote unquote, on time, but this is a monastery I've never been to. They have a way of doing things. And so here's what ended up happening, which it filled my heart up so much, and I had such a good laugh over it, and I never would have reacted to it in the way I did without you.
Without practice.
And as it turns out, yes, there was meditation. That happens up the stairs to the left as you go in. And at the same time, there was a workshop going on, a wholehearted workshop being led by a visiting woman from Vermont. And everybody was sort of coming back into the workshop, and we're sitting down, and she was talking, and they were sitting down, and it seemed like this good sort of thing to get. And so I was like, oh, okay, they're having a talk first. So I just sat down in the middle of all these people. But of course it was me, so I kind of found my way in the back on the left, like with my back in the corner, so, you know, I was safe. But there were some weird looks, but mostly it was very accepting. And for the next hour and a half, I listened to this, you know, sort of a Dharma talk about wholeheartedness. And there was a woman there who shared about singing, and that brought me right back to our workshop, because we had a singer in our workshop, and oh, it just was so neat. And she actually ended up singing, and I ended up just crying because of overflowing of thought. And then it ended, and then they were going to continue their workshop. And by that point, I realized, okay, all right, I'm a little bit of an interloper here. And I went up to the woman, and I did forgive my intrusion, but she was very, very sweet, and, you know, said, you know, you're right where you need to be, and, you know, hopefully, you know, you can come back and meditate as well. And I left at that point. And it could have been the most mortifying, embarrassing thing that ever happened to me, ever. You know, something to chew on and feast on for weeks, right?
Mm-hmm. Instead, you can turn it into a commitment not to fall for those scams again, right? To really be the person that you choose to be, which is to read the instructions and to leave on time and know where you're going. all of those kind of present moment decisions and choices that we make when we're practicing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right.
Step over the roadblocks that ego presents. Just step over it. Say, yes, okay, and I'm just going to step over it. And you know.
That's right. Because and keep our eyes on the prize, right? I'm going to do this thing, and I want to do it. It was good, huh? I want to do it wholeheartedly, which means all of me is there committed to this. It's not just something that is slipping in amongst all of the other things that ego has me focused on. This is what I'm doing, and I'm doing it for me, right? Uh-huh. I'm doing it for my heart, yeah, and I don't want to be half-hearted with my heart. All right. Thank you so much, Paige. Good cautionary tale for all of us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Paige.
Thank you.
Wow, cautionary tale indeed. It mm-hmm. And just that wonderful practice place of no self-hate, right? This is
yes.
What's unfolding.
Yeah.
It's all for me, and instead of going to that conditioned place of letting self-hate have its way with us, to be truly present here. I mean, to me, it's the Alan Watts quote, if we are just an extension of the physical universe, then there is no reason why we shouldn't honor what is, however it is.
Yes, and what Paige was describing so perfectly is it's all a workshop. Wherever we are and whatever is going on, if we're paying attention, as the third patriarch pointed out, everything will enlighten us. It just will. That's just how it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, this is Sarah.
Hey, Sarah.
This is who? Who?
Sarah. It's Sarah.
Oh, hi. Hi, Sarah.
Hi there. I gave up coffee, so this is, I think, as close as I'm going to get to caffeine is hanging out in the queue.
It's a practice drug.
Yeah, I like it. It's wonderful to be more aware. I wanted to talk about Fridays, which was so amazing, the one on failing to notice. I know when you read it on Friday that you said it was a life work, and it feels like for me like a lifetimes of work to become aware of what awareness is aware of and not what ego is telling me is the reality.
Well stated. Really beautifully stated. That's it precisely. Yeah.
Yeah, and I when I heard it, something came back to me, something I had heard you talk about, I think, in a Thursday group, which is this whole idea of ego kind of telling you that you don't have the very thing that you already have and want.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the example you gave at the time was you're feeling a sense of peace and well-being, and then you get this, you know, what goes through your head is, gosh, it would be great if I could feel more peaceful and, you know, be more relaxed, and that becomes the kind of, you know, the wanting, the desire for that, and so that's what I was trying to practice with a little bit about, you know, with this exercise was, is it possible, like, the discontent is based on, you know, you're being told that you don't have the thing you actually have.
Uh-huh. That it's actually a feeling of contentment that triggers ego to say, ooh, point out to her that she doesn't have contentment.
Yeah, and I'm something is just lacking, something in the environment.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be happier when I have X. You know, is it possible that I already have X? But ego's kind of, because this is the thing I guess I'm struggling with a little bit in practice, is that I'm finding, I know you say that ego kind of feeds off positive energy, but I'm finding it just that going farther, how do you say it? Going farther,
faring worse. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that I'll have a sense of well-being. I'll you know, experience presence and joy and all these things, and then, boop, there it is, you know.
Oh, not, absolutely.
It feels like having joy, having peace, having those things there's a lot of fear attached to it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That is so important. That's a big one. That's exactly what that system would like us to fall for. Because then then it's got you, right? Because you're going to give up happiness and contentment and peace and well-being because you're afraid to have it, because it's going to set off conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
So conditioning is going to be set off to keep you in a state of fear in order to, so that you won't choose presence. Yeah, that was
so
a little convoluted. Did you?
No,
did
no,
you
no.
Go
but
with
so
me?
Then is the answer? I think so. I think so. So the answer then is choose presence. Just choose presence.
That's exactly right. Choose presence,
okay.
Because every time you choose presence, you'll get to watch it try to come in and take that away from you.
Okay.
And every time you do that, that's it. You're building your muscles.
You're building the muscle, because that's what I also want to just say really quickly, because I don't want to take up too much time, but that conversation with Ladima on Thursday about, you know, the difference between, you know, satisfying your stomach and versus your heart, and the idea that it's like a practice of learning to recognize that the satisfaction comes from choosing your heart.
Yes.
But and something about this is this the same practice of that, choosing the present and choosing just almost like rewiring your brain a little bit to recognize like presence and satisfaction by choosing your heart and compassion is where you'll, it's just the only way you're going.
That's exactly it. And it's it's calling conditioning out, because conditioning controls people in exactly the way you described. People are afraid not to choose conditioning because something conditioning will do something bad to you. Mm-hmm. Well, it already has. Right? So if I'm focused on fear and disappointment and that sort of thing, because I'm afraid if I don't focus on that, I'll feel fear and disappointment, mm-hmm. it's really got me because I'm never going to be out of that. So in the beginning, we pop up into well-being, into the present and well-being, and then here it comes to suck that energy up mm-hmm. and drag us back down. And then we pop up again. Right? And if we continue to pop up, what we get is, wow, the same thing happens every time. It's not like it's got additional ammunition, right? I pop up, it tries to suck the energy out. I pop up, it tries to suck the energy out. I can just keep popping up. And pretty mm-hmm. soon, I'm focused on popping up, not on what it's doing to try to suck the energy out, and it loses. Now, I said that really quickly, like it's going to happen by next Thursday, right?
I will.
And for most of us it won't, because the amount of karma and conditioning that we brought with us into this present moment is impressive, right? So, yeah. And that's what we're doing. We are dismantling all of that. And once we get that that's what we're doing and feel an excitement about it, that's where I like to compare it to cleaning up a house that you love.
Mm.
You know, you love this house. You love this house. But the people who had it before trashed it. And it's beautiful. And you can see how beautiful it's going to be when it's all cleaned up and pristine again. And that's what we're doing. So we just keep popping up and choosing life, popping up and choosing life until conditioning doesn't have anything left to suck that life force out of us.
I love that image. That's really helpful. So, yeah, thank you so much.
Good. Oh, yeah, you are so welcome.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we'll keep at it. Okay.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye, Sarah. Thank you. You know, I love that conversation, Terry. I love that original comment you made that – or Sarah made, I don't remember which, but
one of us,
that we,
one of us white
one,
people.
That we, yes, we, that dissatisfaction, we experience dissatisfaction because we're told we're dissatisfied.
Yes. Yes.
That,
and then we go there. Yes. Yeah, and the same thing can happen in reverse, right? If I say, oh, I love life. I am so grateful. I am so grateful that everything is so wonderful for me. That's the experience I have.
Yes, exactly so. And that other piece of it, which, you know, Ignatieshwaran says so beautifully, that all that energy of life is dissipated in the fulfillment of, in the longing for the fulfillment of many desires. But we can unite all of that in that one desire, which is to be here. And what we need to do is to get familiar with the feeling of having fulfillment from one desire being fulfilled instead of that feeling that it's going to take multiple things in order to satisfy. And it's not really the deprivation or loss of content, but a training of an experience.
Yes, because unconditional love is what's going to satisfy us. And we can have all the everything else that the world can provide, and we will never be satisfied until we reach that unconditional love. And we all experience it all the time. It's just that conditioning has us so trained to just pass right over it. Not so there I am feeling gratitude and love and appreciation, and here it comes. Well, but if you... You know, yeah, but you don't, that, well, yeah, but that didn't work. And what are you going to do about that? And so more and more, and I think it's Landmark Forum. That's who I always credit with that. But how you say it is how it is. The depth of that quote is it's limitless. Mm-hmm. How you say it is how it is. If we listen to conditioning, how conditioning says it, that's how our life is, and it's a life of dissatisfaction and suffering. If we say that we are happy and grateful and we're focused on all the things that we appreciate, that's how our life is, and we will be satisfied.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right. I believe we have time for one more caller, Sherry. So.
All right.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Lisa.
Well, hello, hey, Lisa.
Hey, hi, Sherry. I'm so excited. I've been able to listen, but not always able to be listening live. So it's so exciting to be a part of this. So that's the first thing. I just wanted to express the gratitude for these phone calls, because even though I am not always able to participate, I love listening to them. So thank you. Mm. I wanted to talk about the Alan Watts, the it was from yesterday, about feeling happy when, you know, when this happens, when that happens, always kind of looking mm-hmm. towards the future. And that really landed with me in a big way this weekend. And the content around it is I think my mother passed away. And and her passing was, you know, we had a difficult relationship. and in the last year of her life, I made a conscious choice not to visit her. And trying to get this all out, what came from that, or what was part of that, was knowing that it upset her for her to see me. And just knowing, having this knowing that that it just wasn't the right thing to do. And then, but also in that year, there had been a time in my life where I had wanted my mother to go away, and I don't want to say anything too harsh about some of the fantasies that were connected to that, the conditioning had me in, but just not wanting, you know, not wanting a relationship with her at all in some of the harshest ways, and thinking that that would make me happy, that I would be happy when she was gone, you know. And then the last year and a half, honestly, with some guidance from you, I ended up making the choice, a very conscious choice, after going to see her the last time, to not see her again. But in that year and a half, I took some guidance, which was I really did spend time sending her any positive thought, any not beating myself up. Like, it was kind of like a twofold thing. It was like trying to connect with the beautiful parts of our relationship, which are very hard to do, and I think some of them were even maybe fabricated. But but just trying to connect to that positivity, so that when she passed, I had had a year of, there wasn't a when this happens, I will be happy. Like, I had a year of without self-hate around my mother, possibly for the first time in my life. And even though it was combined with not going to see her. And so what I think about is, you know, from the outside, if I told this to someone not in our practice, they might think that I was crazy. but within this practice, I kind of, the quote made me connect with that idea of, you know, I can have this now. I can have peace now. I can have peace with my mother's relationship for that year, and even though it didn't involve a lot of the things that conditioning might have said were the quote-unquote right thing to do, or from someone else's lens of what it was. And it didn't have anything to do with my mother passing on from this world. Like, it had nothing to do with mm-hmm. her being physically in this world or not. Mm-hmm. It really had to do with what was happening in my heart for myself and for everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and even now, when we step back in that way that you're describing, you know that your mother suffered, right?
Yeah.
The thing that we know is that when we have that kind of difficult relationship with somebody, and whatever we do, we're not able to change that. It just is the way it is. We can't delude ourselves into believing she's a happy, fulfilled human being. She just doesn't like me, her daughter. That's a level of delusion we can't get to. So we know our own struggles and the places that we get really confused and lost and angry and hateful and all of those kinds of things when we're identified with self-hate. And so it's easy to project that onto her, right? She was a suffering, struggling human being. And so now it's possible to connect with her on that level, right?
Yeah.
Because now you can just go to what you described. You know, if you can remember some of the good that was in your relationship. And, of course, I'm a firm supporter of continuing to interact with people after they're no longer in a physical form. So, you know, when you think of her, to thank her for the things that, I mean, she didn't drown you at birth, you know. So, to be grateful for the things that you received and appreciative, and let her know that so that wherever she is, whatever is going on with her as she transitions, she has some kind of information that says her life wasn't a waste, that she did good things and she made a contribution, and there are things that she can feel good about, which I suspect are very important to have as we transition.
Yes, and I even think, like, this won't sound bizarre to you, but but I even think, like, you know, it's been a long time, and looking back with my relationship with my mom, who she was, who I was, the way it went through. I mean, I did everything, pushed it away, tried to help her, got angry. I mean, it went through all of the permutations. And I think finally accepting it, just accepting exactly who she was, who I was, not taking it personally, realizing that she could have ended up with any kid. She just ended up with me, you know, like that there was nothing about it that was personal. And also seeing it as, like, if it hadn't been for my mom, if it hadn't been for the degree of suffering I encountered, I might not have gone out looking for this practice. I mean, I may have, and I don't think it's right to say that it justified the abuse. I'm just saying, like, I have no idea, and I'm just so lucky that I have this opportunity.
Well, yes, and that you didn't go in the same direction.
Yeah.
I mean, for all of us, yes, that's such a wise, from my perspective, a wise assessment, because we can't tell any step that we had taken in a different direction, we wouldn't have wound up here, and we're happy to be here. So if it took that to drive me to awareness practice, I'm grateful. Thank you, Mom.
Yeah.
Good job. Good job, Mom. And to just stay with that, because again, not knowing anything about how this works, but, you know, just having those intuitions and suspicions. Wherever that consciousness is now, I bet there's a large enough perspective to realize that sometimes the helpful role that we play in people's lives is not a happy, touchy-feely, warm and fuzzy role. That sometimes being somebody's worst spiritual opportunity is the thing that pushes us the farthest.
So I just wanted to share that. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Lisa. Take good care, huh?
I will. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Lisa. There's so much in that conversation, Sherry, but we're at the end of a wonderful show. And the thing that just dropped in for me around that is, how many of us have the privilege of a lifetime to actually experience love with the content that caused us so much suffering? It truly brings everything together. It's not personal. It's not about me. It's not about them. And I can, in that place of what used to be intense suffering, be free to express love, not love towards the situation or the person, or what happened for me or any of those things, just pure love, love without object.
Yeah. 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 It is, you know, we say it about a lot of things because it's true about a lot of things, but it is miraculous.
Yeah. And it takes a lot of practice, you know?
Yes.
That's what it takes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. All right. Here's our assignment for the day.
And may I know we're at that time, but I want to make another connection with what you were just saying. You know, we had that, I think we had the quote recently, right, about the guy who was going along and he runs into the tiger and he falls, jumps over the cliff and he's hanging onto the vine. Didn't we just do that one recently? Anyway.
No, I think
I hope
coming
we did.
Up.
Oh, never mind then. We'll talk about it.
Okay.
But it is. I'm going to, for anybody who knows that story, what Lisa was just talking about and what the connections that you made with that, that's what it is. That's what they're pointing at in that little Zen parable, that it's getting to that point of realizing the sweetness of life regardless of any circumstances.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, go ahead. Sorry about that. Well, I think St. Francis is pointing to that, too, because the quote for today is, it is no use walking anywhere to preach unless our walking is our preaching.
Mm-hmm.
Egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate really wants us to believe that some moments matter and some don't. The preaching is important, but everything before and after that event isn't. How we are with intimates doesn't matter nearly as much as how we are with important strangers. In this way, EO can call the shots regardless of circumstances. When with others, we need to look to ego to tell us how we should be and what everything means. And when we're alone, we can go unconscious because this time doesn't count. We fall for that because we believe conditioning's assessments of life. As soon as we realize it's possible to wake up and end suffering in this very lifetime, we realize there's not a moment to waste. Today, notice the times in your day you've been conditioned to believe don't count. Record and listen. All right. Thank you, Sherry.
Oh, thank you, Ashwini. And thanks to everybody.
And we'll see you
treasure
tomorrow.
Yourselves. Yep. Bye-bye.